Well, friends, we're going to continue to, or we're going to open up today, continuing on through our look at 1 Peter, and we're moving all the way into chapter 3, because I want to come back to chapter 2 at a later time. So we're going to jump into chapter 3 this week. For those who are following along and reading, we're going to be looking today as Peter addresses some rules for Christian households, how husbands and wives, Peter be in the context of this new relationship with God. Peter addresses the early church, and through them he then addresses us with this message that our lives and all of our roles need to be seen in this larger picture of what it means in the context of our relationship with God. Without that context, it's just a bunch of new rules. But what Peter is trying to get us to see is that because we are now new creation in this new thing called the church, that there is a new way of operating, and it affects every relationship that we have, including the home relationships of kids and parents, of husbands and wives in particular here in this text today. We see that in a number of New Testament passages that the various writers, both Peter and Paul and others, will address the same issue of what the family roles and relationships ought to look like. And since we are still human, and relationships are still part of our experience, these teachings still are important for us to consider. So whether you are married and you've got a husband or a wife, or maybe you're not, you used to have, please take this into consideration. Or maybe you don't have one yet and are wondering what that's going to be like when that day comes. Hear this teaching today. Let's wrestle with what God has to say, and let's begin to move forward with all of these relationships, especially this one, in this greater context to what God has done in our midst. Now, before we jump into it, and maybe you've read ahead, maybe you've seen what Peter says in the third chapter, but I want to challenge us today to come at this with new eyes. I really do. Because I think that is a good thing for us always to do, to allow the scripture to speak to us with freshness, not just because we've heard something before and we know what it already says, so we don't have to listen any longer. Because the goal of good biblical interpretation, and this is something for all of us as we read God's word, as we begin to wrestle with it, is to try to find, and I can ask Josh this because he's had my class at Fresno Pacific, he knows that one of the things we always say is the intent of good interpretation is to discern the author's original intent. Now, sometimes that's hard because it was written a long time ago, and sometimes we have to look for clues both in the historical context or as well as within the literary context of this text to understand exactly what's going on. But we have to take these things seriously, because if we don't, if we simply take the answer and take it out of its context that it was written in and apply it to our current context, it may have a different meaning in our current context without taking into consideration what the author was trying to say. And if the scripture is our authority and we want to accept it, not fight against it, but before we can accept it and apply it to our lives, let's make sure that we actually try to get that message right. Truth spoken in a particular context, when placed in a different context, may actually take on a different meaning. We've got to beware of that. Okay, we're going to be moving here a little bit into this idea of how it is that we see this teaching comes out of 1 Peter and other places in the New Testament. What does it mean for us as we seek to be honoring in our family relationships this relationship with God that He has opened for us? This text today is going to have on the surface the feel that it's establishing a hierarchy in the family. And I want to just offer to you, if that is how you're going to take it, you can take it that way. But I want to offer to you maybe a little different look at this as we take a deeper look, because I think maybe what Peter is trying to say, and Paul as well, is going to be something almost the opposite of what oftentimes we assume is going on here on the surface. Okay. Let's go ahead and take a look at this. Chapter 3, verse 1, it opens with this. Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your husbands. You know, we read that and we go, what did he say? We're shocked. We're blown away. We do one of two things right here. Either, hear me on this, Either we stop reading, we close the book, and we say, that doesn't work for me. Or others stop right here, close the book, and say, that's all I need to know. As if this becomes the whole heart of God's message for husbands and wives. So I don't know which camp you fall into. If you're one of those who stops right there and closes the book and you're not going to open it anymore because it doesn't work, or you close the book and say, that's all I need, either way, let's open the book, okay? Let's go on, because I think what we're going to see here is going to take us a little different direction. The traditional understanding or interpretation the church has often pulled from this, it was what I was growing up in, was that there was a hierarchy here, and that is the point of the message. That Peter is here to address those who are living, that there is a hierarchy. But I'm going to suggest to you today that Peter is not trying to create a hierarchy. He is recognizing that we live in a world filled with hierarchy. He's not creating a new one. Wives were already submitted to their husband in Peter's day. He didn't have to tell them to submit to their husband. Shoot, wives were property of their husband. They didn't have to be told to be submissive. If they weren't submissive, they would be divorced or killed or whatever. There was no sense of equity in this world. He didn't have to tell them it would be better if you would submit. No, they knew this. Husbands had all the rights, the privilege, the financial resources, all the laws on their side. That part was already a given. And so when we begin to look at this, we need to understand in that historical context for Peter to say this is really not a shocking thing. It's not a place where anyone in the first century was going to say, what did he say? Because everyone knew that's just the way it is. There's going to come a place where the first century believers would have heard this and said, what did he say? But it's not here in verse 1. It'll be later on at about verse 7. We'll get there eventually. This word for us, submit, though, is a hard one for us, isn't it? It is a stumbling block for in our culture. But if we handle it appropriately, if we understand it properly, we're going to see a little bit more of what Peter is trying to get to, and I believe what the other New Testament writers are trying to get at as well, as they begin to develop this idea of a relationship in the family that honors God because it's part of this bigger context of what does it mean to be a believer. Okay, well, let's continue on. Wives, submit to your husbands, to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words, but by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Now, I want to stop there before we move on into verse 3, and just hold on. See what Peter's context is here. It's twofold. One, it is talking about how husbands and wives are to interact with each other, but also to the degree that we are able to win over those who are unbelievers. Not with the badgering, not with the words, but simply by what? By the purity and reverence of the lives of the wives. He is not putting women down in this text. He is elevating them to say that it is out of a sense of the purity and reverence. There is a great power that women possess in this relationship, and especially if their husband happens to be an unbeliever. How profound it must have been in this day, even more so than today, to have a family that had different religious views. But certainly in that first century, as Peter is talking about this, what does it mean to begin to witness to your husband? Peter would say, well, first off, you do it through the purity and reverence of your life. It is something about actions speaking louder than words. And I think prayers speak even louder than our actions. But Peter is saying, let your actions speak for yourself. Verse 3, he goes on to talk again, still to the women. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles or the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Rather, not that you can't wear fine clothes, not that you can't look good. I appreciate when my wife looks good. That's a good thing. But I also know that's not where her true beauty comes from. And Peter reminds us of that. Again, it's not the externals. It's not those things that only run skin deep. We are creatures that go far deeper than that, and we should be. It's when we allow for that sense of just the skin deepness that we get ourselves in trouble. Our culture is so screwed up. Did you know this? Especially for us guys. We are so sexualized. Images everywhere. And those images only go skin deep. And we assume that that's all that matters in that moment. But Peter is saying, don't do that. That dehumanizes half of the population. It dehumanizes your wife. It dehumanizes that person whose image is out there. It's the reason why we have all kinds of things, sex trafficking and all the rest that goes on around us, because we fall into that trap of believing somehow that it's only a skin-deep issue. Friends, we are deeper than that. And Peter is calling us to see one another deeper than that. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. You know, it's clear that he is talking about this idea of submission as being an important piece of what it is, but it's something far more than just an external submitting of an attitude of allowing someone else to have priority in your life. Submitting to husbands was the norm, but Peter doesn't throw it out here. But he creates a new path that is going to lead to a greater sense of equality rather than leading to second-class citizenship, which is what it appears to be on the surface of these first few verses. Submission in this context looks to be a level of consideration of putting your husband first. That is what Peter seems to be calling. But here it is, we move into verse 7. I want to jump down just a little bit as he begins now to give direction to the husbands. Because in the proper environment, this submission within the bonds of marriage is to be that role model of taking the other person's wants and needs and wishes first, be considerate of that. That's submission. And we see that the husband is under the same kind of mandate. Read as Peter goes into this. Husbands, now we want you to do what? In the same way. In the same way as what? Well, what has he just been talking about? He's talking about the way that wives are to treat their husbands with a consideration of putting the husband's needs first. What is the husband's now encouraged to do? In the same way, to be considerate as you live with your wife. I'm going to offer to you that what he is saying here, though he's using different words, is expressing the same reality. That there is a consideration of the other's wants, needs, and wishes before your own. That Peter is calling for men to do at the same time that the culture around is already calling for women to do. So rather than codifying this idea that women must be submissive, Peter is creating an environment where women can be submissive because their husband is going to be so considerate that those two words are going to intertwine and it's going to be the very same thing. That person A puts person B first, and person B puts person A first. And guess what? That is what a Christian marriage is supposed to look like. If you're under the understanding that this means that a Christian marriage should look like this, we have person A and we have person B, that's fine. I just don't think that's what Peter is getting at here. I think Peter is getting at a mutual consideration in the same way. Look for the clues. What are the words he uses here? In the same way, you should treat your wife the way she is treating you. Treat them as with respect as the weaker partner. Some versions say because she is weaker. The idea here is the fact that she has less status. She doesn't have the same authority in the world around you. She doesn't have the same things in place for you. And because of that, you need to actually be adding to her account so that she has that same place, because she is a partner, she is an heir. Depending on your version, sometimes it says equal partner in the gospel of this hope that we have been given. There is something going on here that is far deeper and far bigger than just simply holding the status quo in place so that nothing will hinder your prayers. I love it. He simply says to wives, submit to your husbands, put them first. And then he says to husbands, be considerate, put them first, with a little bit of a threat. If you don't do it, guys, guess what? Her heavenly Father is not going to be pleased with you. How many guys have ever gone up to the door of a house to knock on that door to take a young lady out on a date, and then the first person who comes to the door is not that young lady, but her dad? You know what? That can be intimidating. Peter says, think about it. How you're treating that wife of yours. She's got a heavenly Father, and you don't want to displease him with the way you are treating his daughter. Treat her with consideration and the respect that is due a weaker partner, someone who doesn't have the same privilege you do. So she needs to be more built up so that your prayers will not be hindered. You know, Paul does a similar thing, this idea of mutual consideration. Paul does a similar thing in Ephesians 5, and I know many of you have read Ephesians 5. This is a famous verse about how it is husbands and wives are to treat one another. And again, the word submit plays in a very, very large role. Whether we like it in our culture or not, the word submit plays out because in that culture it needed to be said. But hear how Paul says it in Ephesians 5:21, where he says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. You see, he's doing the same thing that Peter does. He's putting this in the context of our relationship with God. In the relationship with God, our relationship to our spouse is an important part of it. How we address our spouse, how we treat our spouse, is going to be formed by the way that we are in relationship with God. 21 again, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Then he jumps into 22, wives, submit to your husbands as you do to the Lord. In verse 25, he jumps into husbands. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Do you see this whole thing? How husbands treat their wives and how wives treat their husband are seen through that lens, that first lens, verse 21, how we are to submit to one another out of our reverence for Christ. And submitting as to the Lord for wives and loving as Christ loved for the husbands are both ways of defining what it means to be submitted to one another. So whether we talk about mutual submission, whether we talk about mutual consideration, there is something going on here. And again, I think we need to be clever enough to understand what Peter is addressing or what Paul is addressing. What is going to be the radical nature of what he is bringing the gospel to here? Is it to tear down what was going on, the submission of wives to their husbands? No, it is to put them on equal footing with husbands who are also now submitting to their wives, who are finding a sense of equality with their wives, who are elevating their wives even as wives continue to submit. There is a role here in the Christian household for equity and equality rather than the old style of hierarchy that Peter lived in and invited the husbands to begin to deal with. Now, if you're looking for roles or rules for a Christian couple, they are here in 1 Peter. Peter does address how it is we are to do this because we like rules, don't we? We like rules to be able to say, this is what I need to do, and I can check off my list. Or we can say, this is what you need to do, and we can, you know, hold them to account. But here are the rules, and let's read on as we look at verses 8 and 9. Again, finally, all of you. Do you see what Peter's doing here? He's flipping it around and saying, okay, this is what wives do, this is what husbands do, but now all of you do this. Be like-minded. Have and strive for a sense of unity of purpose, unity of place in your relationship, of being one. Be sympathetic. You know, empathize. You may not be feeling what somebody else is feeling. You may not even understand how your partner can feel that way. And yet we are called to be sympathetic. Not say you're being stupid again. Forgive me for when I say that or when I think that. Love one another. Be compassionate and humble. And finally, do not repay evil for evil, insult for insult. Anyone here who is currently married knows that that is the favorite game for almost everybody. That when you get hurt, what do you want to do? Anyone bold enough to tell me what they want to do? Yeah, you want to lash out. You want to hurt back, don't you? Those words hurt me. Guess what's coming? You be careful over there. I may not be able to handle what you guys got going on. But it's natural, isn't it? Your wife brings up something that hurts you. What are you going to do? You're going to bring up something that you know is going to hurt your wife. When you hear something from the past that's been thrown back at you, you're going to grab something from the past and throw it back again. Peter says that's not the way it works. That's not what we're to do. All of us are called to be like-minded. All of us are called to be sympathetic, loving, compassionate, and humble, and not do what is natural for us to do, which is begin to do that cycle. I was wounded, therefore I will wound. And the other person then is wounded, so they will wound back. And there becomes this ongoing cycle that is a downward cycle that tears us apart. No, if you want to have rules and roles, here they are. Work on the sense of oneness. Work on the sense of empathy and sympathy. Work on the sense of love, which means putting the other first, of being compassionate, of understanding, of not expecting or not being impatient, of being humble. By definition, it means putting the other first. No, we are called to do better because we are called to live these relationships out. In this broken world, we have broken relationships, but we are called to something better. And this is what I think Peter is after here for us. So I'm going to just close with this word of prayer and pray over our families as we go and have times with families today. But pray over God's word moving in and through us as we seek to be better. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for the cross and the hope we have because of what you have done for us. We thank you that we are not trapped in our past, nor are we trapped in old patterns, but God, that you have called not only to set us free, but to make us new people. Father, for all the times when we have tended to fall to our own worst habits, which have caused division, which caused breaking, which has caused pain and hurt in one another, especially in our homes. God, I pray that you would give us a new sense of humility and ability to rest in you and to allow you to reshape not only our hearts, but even our patterns as we care for and love one another. So God, I pray over our families for today, for those who are gathering, for those who will have time together. I pray that you would deepen our love for one another and allow this day to be formative to us, reminding us of your love that is the foundation of it all. So God, we thank you for that love and we pray for your grace to move forward. In Jesus' name, amen.